Dude, this is how we roll it.
So you're running. So JJ, what's JJ Live, right? So what is your, is Live your last
my
name?
My parents aren't that clever, you know. My real name is Josh.
Yes, sir.
Really? Okay. Middle name J?
So it's Sri Lankan. You know, some are Joshua. We're leaders, man. Jesus, Joshua, the leaders, taking people to the finish line, man. You know, that's how it is.
Yeah. So you run Ace of Spades agency in Miami. How many people? It looks like you got a lot of people. Are they all yours? So all these people?
Like everyone. I don't have a huge team, right? So these guys are doing their own thing, but we're all sort of working in cooperation. Like, so these guys don't work for me per se, but actually, like, they used to work for, I won't say the name, starts with C, ends with Ardone. So they all work for the big man. And, you know, I'm just a friendly guy, man, and I like being around winners. So I'm like, guys, when, like, obviously, they, however that happened, right? It's another story. Come to the fast lane. You know what I mean? And everyone sort of works, they're doing their own thing and they work for themselves. But I also have two people that work for me as well. Yeah. I think, dude, Andrew, you know what the funny thing is?
My bad, JJ. I was going to ask, are you scared that you've created this character, JJ, that people or yourself is going to forget who, like, you are?
No. No, because JJ is just a larger version of Josh. You know, it's just, it's me. It's just me, dude. And I think to, like, if anyone wants to, like, take something away from this whole podcast, authenticity is powerful. Like, it's not, I'm not an act, you know? Yeah, I'm larger than life, of course, because that's just, you know, you put a camera on anyone, that's usually how it works, right? You know, you're going to be larger than life when you leave the house. But if you're authentically, like, stay you, dude, I don't change me, you know? People appreciate that. People will always, they won't get you at first, but they'll always appreciate you because they know you're straight up. At least he's who he is, because people are tired of people being lied to. And there's nothing worse than when someone tricks on who they are to someone, and then 3 months, 6 months, 2 years down the track, they show another side. I'm like, where was this side? Then done. Trust is done. I don't want that. You might as well just stick in you now. And it's harder. And for a guy, it's harder. Women are easy to do this. It's just something in their DNA. Men, it's hard. It's a hard move to that you have to reveal. Not every man is an alpha, like, quarterback kind of vibe. You know, there's guys like that. There are guys that are quiet. There are guys that are more, like, funny. There are guys that are quirky. But sometimes people wake up every day and they put on this snake skin of, like, who they're supposed to be to the world. And I think now with personal branding, we're not looking for a Barbie and Ken personal line.
So you're talking, so you guys specialize in personal branding. That's your go-to punch, right? So if somebody hires JJ Live, right? Like, I'm like, hey, JJ, what am I hiring you to do exactly? What are you doing for your
clients? Literally, my job is to, like, make you the best in the space, right? And build and amplify your message globally.
Yeah.
So there are two things. Most people work with me. They're not working in their business. They're working on their business. Money's not as much their motivator. Like, they're not like, how am I going to make the next paycheck, right? They go, Jay, I want to write a book. I want to coach. I want to speak on stage, right? Or they say, listen, I've built this empire for 15 years. I love it, but I want to now sit into my legacy. So I show them what's possible. And they're always shocked because people have an ideal of, like, I get it. They don't know that we live in 196 countries on this planet. Sometimes they forget, dude, it ain't just about America, you know? Like, I show them what's possible. Like, you know, like, let's say, Andrew, let's say that I taught you to make correct content. And let's say you have a surge of people from Sweden, you know? And I'm like, dude, guess what? You have your fan base now is from Sweden. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, you don't know why, but guess what? They love you. They listen to you. They trust you, Now we set up a little meet and greet in Sweden. You come back with 50 grand in your pocket and you've impacted people. Trust me, everyone's saying yes. You know?
So, yeah, that's interesting. So how do you track that? So, you know, how would you, you know, if you're angling that, how do you track? Is that like Google Analytics that you're talking about?
I think like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube have a very clear like analytics report. When I did YouTube for 10 years, it's very clear on, but you can find out exactly who watches you, where they watch you, what city, how long, what age. Like it's very clear because they need it for brands. They need it for people who invest with them, like, you know, advertisers. So like the biggest thing is like, what is your core message? Put that out to the market for 3 months, see what sticks, then reevaluate. But I think most people for the first 3 months, man, don't have any trust online. Like they're online if you Google them, but there's no trust. Or they're online, but the messaging's wrong. Or they're a ghost. As one client, some very well financially, and he knows he needs to get more investors now. But I'm like, bro, I Googled you, you're a ghost. Why would someone like me, if I had a couple of mil or even a couple of hundred thousand that I wanted to invest with a realtor or whatever, an investor, I don't trust you. And that hit him. He's like, you're right. I got to do something about this.
So how do we blow up this podcast today? How do we get this from, you know, sparse amount of listeners, you know, 30 or 40 listeners to what's a good number? 300 or 400 or 3 or 4,000? How do we get that?
Well, I think what you guys are doing is right, like consistent and show up. Like you got to remember Gary Vaynerchuk did one Library TV, not a view for 2 years. So I think mine, firstly, I think you get a song, but I think you got to find also the hook. We say this in PR, like, yeah, you guys are fun guys. You're personal. I can feel it. I'm not being charming saying that. I can feel it, right? This is what I do every day. But, like, what is the extra thing going to be? Like, everyone gets on a big artist and hopes that their viewership, it doesn't – this is what we do day in and day out. That's not the move now. You got to think, like, why are people going to be like, oh, I got to get on this show. That was fun because of this, you know? Look at what a late-night talk show does. They're all competing for the same audience. So what, Jimmy Fallon, Ellen, you know, Ellen's different because she obviously is female. She's also supporting the, you know, lesbian and gay community as well, right? So she's got her own sort of, I would say her own vertical, you know? But like Jimmy Fallon, Conan O'Brien, like what are they doing? Jimmy Fallon incorporated the games with the celebrities. So that was his hook. They're all getting celebrities on. So why would I watch his show and not Conan's? Or, you know, other people. So I think for you, man, it's like you can keep the consistency going, but like what can you guys do to really have the uniqueness? So when someone says, how is the show? Do it.
I've got a hook. I got these cards here with questions, good. Random questions. What's your favorite part of Thanksgiving dinner? Does JJ celebrate Thanksgiving? Yeah, well, he's Australian. I don't know.
Let me finish this thought, right? The thing what you need to do is you got to remember, this is what, if anyone's listening, this, you got to remember this. Like people make the mistake with podcasts. Who said a podcast has to be 45 minutes? Every person that wants to do a podcast, I'm like, so what's the play? They go, well, I'm going to do one show a week, 45 minutes. Like, dude, you could do a podcast that's 9 minutes long. And you could do it 3 times a day. Like, there's no rule. All you're doing is you're getting attention. You're trying to get people on the show to build a show. So I think the first thing if I were you, I would change up the dynamic of the show. Make it shorter. Make it tighter. Make it, you know?
Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of people are a little stiff sometimes for the first 30 minutes. So we realize that they loosen up the second 30 minutes. So that's one of the reasons we're like, it's going to be like 45 to 60 because we want to get people loosened up, like not like drunk, you know what I mean? But drunk, but sober, you know what I mean?
Right.
So people are a little bit more cautious in the first half and we also get warmed up. It's like baseball, you know, you got to get warmed up. These are warm-ups. First, 23rd, maybe we need to warm up before the show so that, you know, it's faster. But
this is what I'm going to jump in here. Take responsibility of that of yourself. It's your job to warm them up in 3 minutes. Like make it tight, man. You know what I mean? Like make it tight. You know what I mean? And then set the guidelines before the show. Have a video for them. Hey, what's up, Jay? Hey, we're gonna jump on. It's gonna be 15 minutes. We're gonna get straight into it. Dude, we're super excited to having you. Like, you know, when people go on Jimmy Fallon, dude, they don't have 45 minutes. They got, what is it, 6 minutes? They don't have time to warm up. So they know exactly the frame of mind they need to be in. Now they can see other episodes, but it also teaches.
Yeah.
We might test that.
I like that. Dude, go hard for 15 and get on.
Get out. Like, what a highly successful people value.
Let's do it right now. I got eight minutes left.
So let's right roll. Now. Let's do this. I got a hard
eight. We're going hard for eight. JJ, why is JJ Live never going? What's that? Why is JJ Live never going broke again? Why are you going to never be broke? Or does it even matter? Does being broke even matter to you?
Yeah, it does. Because I don't care what anyone says. Your confidence gets shattered when you're constantly worrying about money. Right, I know how that feels for 31 years of my life. So why am I never going broke again? Because for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm in a lane where I have complete ownership and power of doing whatever I want to do and helping whoever I want to help. Next question.
What are you reading right now?
No,
do you
read as much as people say? That's not my. You know, I watch videos. I listen to podcasts. But I just it's just consuming information. You know. Like I'm very passionate on this because like we get told you got to read like a book a day or what is it? A book a month? No, you don't. Who told?
Yeah. One a month. One a week is the saying.
You could get enough information for a month with 1 hour of someone that you meet at a coffee shop. I know that feeling. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. And that C can just go like that. Now I'm not saying never read. But, you know, and I've got to mention Gary Vee here. Someone interviewed him on the show. It blew me away. It was like on Instagram. They're like, how many books do you read? And Gary does this. I don't read. I was like, oh, wow. Gary Vaynerchuk doesn't read. He's like, that's not how I consume info. And I was like, thank you. For once, I don't feel bad. I'm not reading a book a week. You know?
Well, podcasts are taking over. I mean, it's more modern because the content is more up to date. It's more modern. So that's what my book reading has gone down and the podcast has increased because it's current, modern, it's up to date. Josh, go, come on. Okay. Hey, here's my other question. What's your favorite part of Thanksgiving dinner?
Part of Thanksgiving dinner is having the conversations after between dinner and dessert where everyone's fat and then just in a moment of just enjoy, like just gluttonous. You know, because I like dinner questions. I'm like dinner parties and you ask people really interesting questions. Like, you know, if you're on an island, right? And you had your two ex-girlfriends with you, right? Who would you choose? And then you get people to explain. Like, it's just gets people to have fun with you. I like that, you know? Then there's this.
Tell us about your, you're married, you have kids. Tell us about JJ.
JJ is single, free. Just, you know, I lived in Asia for 10 years, man. It's like I've experienced some cool things most people. And it's like, dude, for me, I think the person in your life that if you're going to bring them in your world, it has to be the things that you need need to lift you up. You know, I'm not a Dr. Phil to someone. I said this to one girl once. I said, babe, I'm not your Dr. Phil. I got to go. 33.
How old are you, JJ?
But I'm Asian, you know?
33.
So we have that youngness on the skin, you know? Yeah, I know, dude.
Well, 33 is still young. What do you do for fun? Recreationally, what do you do for fun? Sports or workout
needs to happen. But I used to play pro soccer. Like I wanted to be a soccer star before being a magician. So I realized that wasn't the sport is good, but dude, I'm a big sucker of like finding holes in the walls that not many people know about in the city. You know, finding that lady that's been there for 35 years that's cooking ramen. When I lived in Tokyo, there was this one lady that cooked ramen and she'd only cook 50 bowls a day. Dude, when you hear that story, you're like, I gotta get a bowl. Scarcity, 35 years of experience and ramen. I'm like, I'm in. So like I'm big on those kind of places, like finding little holes in the wall, gems.
So what's one thing you're looking to do better this year than you did last year, JJ?
Letting go. I have a problem of wanting to take it all on myself, and that's like I'm not a great person to hire people, and that's a very new thing for me because I've been a lone wolf. You know, it's always been me, and that's very challenging for me. You know, to bring someone in, to pay them, I've got staff, but it's not like I'm talking about someone to really give them a lot of power. I think that's the better way to explain it. So. Because you can't do it all. You can't do it by yourself, man. So I think that's the big move.
JJ, you've got a million followers on Instagram. How does one do that? You buy them, or do you earn them? How does that work?
How'd you do it? Every way that you can think of so I could sell it, so I could tell people what works. You know, the backstory is when I did 57 million views on YouTube, it took me 10 years. I was at 5,000 Instagram followers in March 2020. And I was like, this ain't going to work. This organic thing is changing. Like, this is going to take me another 5 years to grow it. So I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do everything that I respect from other people that told me, and I tried it out. So most of my followers were done through other celebrities. So they're called celebrity shout outs. So basically you go into a campaign with them, right? But the one thing that I did right that a lot of people do wrong is it's the numbers are important, but your content and character is what's going to shine through. So for example, right? It's like imagine being a super pretty girl with no personality. That's what happens with Instagram. You have all these followers, but they, dude, what does this guy do? He's no one. So my theory is this, and I'm glad you brought this up because I'm the first person to tell you how I grew my account. I knew the power of numbers and perception. I'm like, I know I've got the goods, but I'm going to struggle by the guy beating me who's got 50,000 followers. I'm like, stuff it. I'm going to a million. Better make sure. So when I got to, I got verified. When I got to 500,000, it was good. When I got to 1 million verified, dude, I get into any door. But deep down, I know I can deliver. So it's like, imagine me getting you to have an introduction with Jay-Z. Imagine if I knew Jay-Z and you're a singer, right? So I'm the perception, right? I'm the followers. I'm the guy that can get you in front of the door. If you sit down with Jay-Z and he goes, beat for me, and you it up, you're done. Like, he's going to tell everybody that guy's all talk, and that is like, you're done. So I think most people, what they do wrong is they fake it, but they don't close it. They can't actually perform. So that's what I do.
How much do you think you invested to get those million followers?
Time, that's probably irrelevant. That's too much time, but I know I've spent over at least six figures on my personal Instagram, like from content to branding to verification to followers, but how much has it made me? You got to remember, it's not the money. This is your calling card, right? They can't see what car you drive. They can see is you and the way you speak. Go to a party. Hey man, Andrew, how do I get in contact with you? What's your Instagram? It's not, hey man, like, give me your website. You know, what's your LinkedIn? No one says.
Yeah, it's not the payment, it's the payoff. So how is the payoff? Is the payoff there?
Well, let me ask you this. Imagine walking into a room and constantly have trust. Imagine getting on a call with someone and they already know they like you, trust you, and they want to work with you. How easy is that? You know, imagine DMing someone on Instagram, they get back to you straight away. That's how much is that worth to you? What could you do with that power? So once I realized that, I was like, that's what everyone's going to do, you know? And at the end of the day, I don't know how long Instagram's going to be around, right? It's run by Facebook. I don't think they're shutting down anytime soon. But I just know and this is where we come back to the PR element. Don't hate the player, hate the game. The game is they look at your numbers. When I go pitch people for Good Morning America, you know the first question they ask me? I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. How many followers and is he verified? They don't say, what does he look like? What does she do? How cool is she? How many followers? And are they verified? Why do they care about that? Because they know numbers and perception sells. I know what it feels like. When I have 5,000 followers, same me, same accent, same look, right? Same. Maybe that's what, year and a half ago? I walk into a room now, dude, it's completely, it's like, I don't even know what it feels like to be at 5,000 anymore. you know? And I think
how does it feel to be at a million?
Probably five. I think I'm playing too soon, you know. No, but you know what? It doesn't bother me anymore. Like no one's for me, it's just like, how do we get to the goals faster? And I'm like, I'm having a trust problem here. It's not a talent problem. It's not a I can't close problem. It's a trust problem. So I'm like, I've got to break that down. What do I need to spend? Who I need? Do I need to talk to? And then deep down, can I deliver? I'm like 100% yes. But I got to fix that. You know, it's like this, right? Imagine if you lived in Ohio and you're trying to be an actor. Dude, you can be in Ohio or you can move to LA. Figure out how to get into the front of the people that are probably more likely to work with you. It's like, how can you figure that out? And take away, guys, the perception of what people are going to think of you. Dude, they're already judging you anyway. I had this one girl say to me once, well, I can tell you bought some of your followers. I said, great. So what's your point? Well, I just want to let you know. I'm like, I know what I did, you know? Like, I know that. So what's your point here? Like, you're thinking of it from the wrong way. Think about it from a bigger picture. Play the game, you know?
Yeah, you're trial and error, and you figured out, and you had to do what you had to do. What, you said I can close, right? So what's your closing line? Do you have a go-to closing line or a sales line that you love that you use a lot?
Fine. I share this.
Or you just,
I believe you have to be 100% you. Like they can feel it. They really can. You know what I mean? I think it's really important to train in sales. It's a skill set, but I think there's something about sales guys. They forget people are people and they have to like you. And I think you've got to allow just that conviction of like what you can do for them is important. But from a tactics point of view, dude, I like the scale of 1 to 10 line. That's one of my favorites. Hey, Josh, Andrew.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
like from what you've heard, like 10 being I'm all in, 0 being don't call me again, playboy. Like I like being fun with it. Cause if you get them to laugh, if you can get them to laugh on those hard questions.
Wait, say that one again. If I like that. Get them to laugh.
Dude, combining humor with hard questions, because I think I'm really energetic. Yeah. Like I can feel people really well. It sucks because I know they haven't been asked those questions before. And a lot of people won't tell you the truth. You got to isolate the real objection, right? So it's like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I'm all in and 0, don't ever call me again, playboy or funny guy or Mr. Haircut, whatever, because it gets them, oh, this guy actually can fun with, where are you sitting, you know, or hey, money aside,
I like that.
Let's say you had $1 billion in the bank account. Would you move forward with this today? You know, who else other than you is have to write the check? And this is probably actually my favorite now I'm thinking about it. Okay. So it seems like you're good to go. What would be the reason you wouldn't move forward? I like that one because it really gets them to give you actually the truth. Well, maybe if it didn't work. Oh, okay. So they're not sold on if it's actually going to work for them. That means I've got to give them more confidence in them. And that's hard in my go world, man. I'm getting people to do things that are new to them. So it's not like I'm not the guy. It's not they don't have the money. It's not like... It's just their belief. Oh, do I really want to do videos? That's hard. Because I'm not in a simple, like you give me 30 grand, I'll make you 70. I'm not in a, like a Walmart store situation or an investor. I'm in more of a space where it's harder to see ROI, harder to see the result.
You're almost in the motivation space. It's like, here's my money. Tell me what to do. And then they're like, I don't really want to do it.
100%.
Right?
Yeah,
it's like, that's not my character. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, like at the end of the day, like it sucks for me too, man, because you work so hard to be better at just, you know, moving people to a better place. And I said this to one of my girls yesterday. I said, it's so hard because you give so much and it comes down to not even the money. It's them. They actually, the belief in them is so little. I'm like, how do I fix? Like, that's a hard game to fix. You know, that's deep seated stuff, dude. You know, like there's nothing you can say.
So how do you coach them? How do you coach them to remove their limiting beliefs? You brought that up pre-pod.
Well, depending. If they've already paid me, then it's different because then I'm the coach, right? But if they're not, you got to hit them with value. Okay. you know, you drip feed them value every week until like, but man, it's sort of like, how do you, self-belief is like the biggest thing in the world we need, right? So that's not something you can just turn on. That takes time, you know? And I think you guys know this better than everybody. You got to let people go too. Like, you can't close everybody and you can't help everybody. Some people just don't want to be helped, man. Dude, you could give someone everything they need on a silver platter and they still won't take it.
Yeah. So you believe in the law of numbers or the,
yeah, you know, 1,000%. Like because I like, I'm simple logic. Because I don't know about manifestation and all that stuff. I can't tangibly put on manifestation. Like I do believe in visualization, but I know that if I speak to 1,000 people, I'm probably gonna get a win. It's like this. I go speak to 300 people in a room, you know, law of average, probably, you know, 50% will probably interested, 20% of out of those that probably could do it. Probably, you know, two or three of them will probably buy, you know, one will probably stay on forever. So I think when you be okay with understanding that, it takes off a lot of pressure from you. Because I don't know if you guys are like me, but like I get really caught up if I, you know, not if I close someone, but like, man, what did I do wrong? And how could I have improved? I think, dude, just go speak to more people.
What were some of your limiting beliefs like a few years ago, JJ?
That I haven't had the experience running a PR agency. What do I know? That's usually imposter syndrome, you know? And then I realized that was all talk. I'm telling my own self that story. Like, you know, like if someone said to me, like, what do you know about you? What, like, how long have you been in industry? I said, like 1.5 years. They said, how can you charge this much? I said, you're looking at it the wrong way. I'm teaching people self-belief. No one wants to buy that, you know? And I said, I've actually been doing it for 18 years. Look at my YouTube channel. I've been self-promoting. That's what we're really doing, you know? So I think the limiting belief was like actually like going for the big whales. I was scared because I was like, oh, what do I know? I don't have experience enough, you know? And then you're like, stuff it. I'm going for the whale. Because if I don't get the whale, I'll get the shark, you know?
Have you booked any whales or do you have any notable clientele that we may have heard of?
Well, the thing is for me, for whales are not unknown whales. That's the great thing. Because they've, for example, like I just, you know, someone joined the team recently. So you heard of Monet? Monet's probably the biggest, one of the biggest networking companies in the world. It's like beauty products and it's huge. They skyrocketed over.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, just look at Monet. Okay, no. Yeah, so I got the number one of Monet, right? Right, that's exciting times. I got the guy that was the lead designer for Coca-Cola. Every global campaign, he was the guy that directed it. You know what I mean? That's fun. But these guys, you don't know the names. But it's like, man, like what was it like working for Coca-Cola for 5 years? And my favorite question, he told me when I first met him, he said, I had a checkbook that was unlimited. And I said, what do you mean unlimited? He goes, if I'm not allowed to ask them for approval of spend, they just said, James, you're running it for 5 years. Just make us look good online. That was the whole close. It wasn't like we need ROI. They said, listen, we're Coca-Cola. Here's the checkbook. Do what you got to do. I love that. You know, that's their fun clients for me. Because usually what you do is these people have made something else famous. So I'm turning the spotlight on them. They're not looking for fame. That's what I love. That's why I don't work with art entertainers or artists or musicians or I don't work with them because they have too much ego. They think they've tried it all. They think they've done it all. I'm looking for people that usually have made something else famous. Now my job is to show them it's okay to speak up about what you've done. That's so much more fun for me. Yeah, exactly.
Like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly.
With Paris.
Yeah, imagine. Do you think they still talk? Do you think they still like?
I love that. I see Paris and Kim, and they're like, "Oh, can I get a picture with Paris?" and Kim's standing there. They don't even know who she is. And she's like, you know, way bigger than Paris.
You know, I know deep down she must be annoyed. Dude, she was the stylist. Imagine your assistant for like 5 years ends up blowing up in your space and just takes all the work. You'd be like, shit, you know?
I blame OJ.
Yeah.
OJ?
Yeah.
I still
Kardashians without OJ.
He did it, dude. Dude, OJ did it.
That's true. Or Ray J. Yeah. OJ, Ray J, JJ.
OJ, she gets with the J's. That's it.
OJ, Ray J,
I might get my team to make a photo. OJ, J, Ray J, JJ.
AJ, next up is JJ.
That. Hey, guys, I'm behind. I got to call in 4 minutes, but cool.
All right, JJ. Yeah. We'll let you go, man. Thanks, fun, guys. Appreciate thanks for coming
it.
On.
Try that podcast thing out. I think that could work for you. Keep it tight, keep it short, you know, and you'd be surprised. I think that may give you some wins.
Yeah, hard and fast. That's not Josh's style. That's he likes to go slow and easy and have sometimes a lot of foreplay.
You know, a little bit of push and pull. Hey, by the way, people listening right now and they want to reach out.
It's okay to pause between questions.
Exactly. Hey, if people are listening right now and they want to reach out if they want my help, aceofspadesagency.com. aceofspadesagency.com. That's the move.
Or find JJ on Instagram, yes, JJ Live. All right.